It's a prayer sheet for praying specifically for revival, and we're going to go over that here in just a minute. Got a couple of quick announcements. If you'd like to get your Bible open, we're going to start off in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. Once we figure out this microphone. Okay, let's see here. Announcements, things going on. This coming Sunday from now, a week from now, is our spring revival with with Brother Brian McBride. As we've mentioned before, that it'll just be him. His wife and his daughter will not be traveling with him, so there won't be any special music going on from their family, but we will be having special music here. But it's spring revival time, May 2nd through the 5th. There's still plenty of postcards there. I'll be praying for the meeting. Also, do your best to have somebody come with you. Ladies Appreciation Luncheon, there's two things with this. Number one, ladies, if you plan on coming, please sign up. And number two, gentlemen, if you plan on helping, please let me know. And it's a lot of fun. We always have a good time there. So I want to encourage you to let me know if you plan on helping. We like to get some things started and figuring out a few things and like to get some input from some of the gentlemen there that plan on being there and plan on helping. Graduation Fellowship, it's for Kristen Colvin. It's Sunday, May 30th, following the evening service. We'll give you a little bit more details about that as it gets a little closer. Church Picnic, this is a little different. So it's a multi-church picnic. It's we're asking as a group of those that are local ones in the area, Faith Baptist Church, Victory Baptist Church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, Emmanuel up in Edenton, and Harmony are going to have a picnic here at our church on Saturday, June 5th. So the special speaker that day is supposed to be Brother Barnhouse, and we'll give you some more details because that's still a little bit over a month away, but it's a time where we get to fellowship and spend some time. So we're going to have a real church service that day. Brother Barnhouse is going to preach. We're going to have special music and things like that. So we're taking our Sunday evening service and moving it to that Saturday afternoon. So I think the time is going to be somewhere around 2 or 2:30. Had a meeting with the other pastors this past week, and looking forward to that. And we're going to need some help with some different things coming up towards that. But that's, I think we'll have a good time that day. I know a lot of you have friends at different churches, but to show that we're not in competition with one another, that we all love the Lord, have the same basic doctrines, Bible doctrines, and we can fellowship together. And I think it'll be a good time. Hoping it's going to become a yearly event, but we'll see how the first one works out. If the first one works out good, then we'll keep on doing. They're going to try to have a competitive softball game. What does it mean, competitive? It means I'm not playing. So it's for those that are 16 and above and that know how to play and hopefully going to enjoy going out there and playing. I'm going to play volleyball and have a family-type kickball game, and they'll have all different types of things. After we're going to eat first, and then we're going to have the service, and then we're going to have the activity time. So hopefully it will be a good turnout. I know of COVID, sometimes people are still a little concerned and understand that not everybody will come. We had it planned for last year, had to cancel it last year, so this year we are going to take part of that, and hopefully everything will turn out great. Junior camp dates, June 13th through the 16th. Now that is for our kids here, and we're going to do it here. It starts on Sunday night. While we're out here having church on Sunday night, they're going to actually be starting their junior camp in the back. And so that's interesting things that are going to be going on. That's for Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday afternoon gets done. If you'd like to help in junior camp, please let me know. Lots of different things going on, but junior camp is something that we're going to focus on. Younger guys, he said, who's younger? Is 6 to 8 years old. They're going to be able to come during the daytime. It's going to be 9 and up that's going to be able to stay overnight. And it is mainly for focus for our kids that actually come to church here. We did it 2 years ago. It was a great blessing and encouragement. Learned a lot of things. Think it went really well. If you have a grandchild that you know that would like to come that does not come on a regular basis here and you're hoping that they can start coming, something like that, we might make an exception letting a few other kids join us, but it's not something that's opened up to a whole bunch of other churches. Teen camp, July 5th through the 9th. If you have questions about that, see Brother Brandenburg. They're going up to a camp, I think it's called Common Ground. It's up in Pennsylvania, and that week, Brother Barnhouse will be the preacher that week. I'm looking forward to a great week of camp for them. Kids Crusades coming up July 26th to the 30th, and so our theme It's going to be Big Fish Bay. So it's a little bit different, and we're going to be having advertisements about that and different information. But it's last year we did an island theme. This is more of a Eastern North Carolina town type theme, of a fishing type town here and I think it's going to be good. Stories about Jonah. So don't tell all the kids all those different stories, but we will have a great time of Kids Crusade this year too. So all those different things, lots of different announcements. One other thing, we're going to try something new with our gentlemen. Yesterday's breakfast was really, really good, and we had a great time of prayer. So we're going to try to start having a prayer each Saturday morning starting at 8 o'clock. We're going to do it for the whole month of May and see how things go. I know that does not work for everyone. I know Saturdays is the only day many times for family day, but I think it's important that we pray. I think it's important as a church that we pray, and I think we're going to start off with our men, 8 o'clock Saturday mornings. It won't be breakfast like you had yesterday. Yesterday they had all types of food. There might be some donuts or coffee back there for you that day, but from about 8 to 9, usually the other days is 8 to 10, but it's just going to be a time focused of prayer, a short challenge from God's Word, an opportunity to share requests, and also to pray with one another. And I thought last week was great. Yesterday was great. Looking forward to it again this coming Saturday morning at 8 a.m. So, gentlemen, if you want to mark that on your calendar, and we're going to do it every Sunday during the month of May, especially every Saturday. Yes, thank you. Saturday during the month of May. Thank you both. I make mistakes. You know, as you get older, you make more mistakes. I thought you guys were all lying to me, but I've gone really old in the last year for some reason. Did you say something? Okay. So next week is revival, and I guess the Lord's laid a couple things in my heart to share with you to help us get our hearts ready for revival. Don't forget, next week's revival, the following Sunday, we'll be meeting out here again, and then we're breaking up into our classes once again. There's going to be a widow ladies class. There's going to be a college age career type class. Also going to be a class with that idea of parents with kids at home, that type of age group there. And then also we're going to have what we're going to call our auditorium class that's going to be out here. So got lots of different teachers. Mr. Bateman's going to be teaching the auditorium class, and Mr. Lyman's going to be teaching the college and career class. I'll be teaching that whatever maybe we should decide a name on that other class. And obviously Miss Gail's going to be teaching our widow ladies class. So I would encourage you to be faithful. And I know it's going to be small numbers in some of the classes. Encourage you to bring more people. So that's one great way to build a Sunday school class, is to get excited about your class and want to continue to build it. We might even consider going back into another room with the auditorium class, depending on the size. I would encourage you to sit in these two sections if there's only going to be 20 people out here, because it's hard as a speaker to have to deal with 20 people all spread out. You feel kind of lonely up here. So, but I'm not going to be the one teaching it. Mr. Bateman could tell you guys to sit out in the choir loft. I don't know what he's going to tell you. You never know what he might say. So, but that's going to be throughout the summer. All of us are going to be learning, going through the same curriculum. They even have a book that goes along with it to be encouragement and help to you. And I think it's going to be great. I think it'll be wonderful. I'm excited about those classes breaking back up and enjoying one another. Okay, so some crazy things have been going on in Elizabeth City this week, haven't there? And so it's a big challenge. And you're just like, what in the world can we do to help? And I think the way we can learn how to help is depend on the Lord. Get close to God. Let God speak to our hearts and teach us and show us. Go to Hebrews, and if you go to Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about those that are able to handle the strong meat, talking about those who've put the Bible in their hearts and able to learn and grow. They're able to discern between what is right and wrong, what is good and what's evil. And so many times people are out there, I don't know what's right, I don't know what's wrong. And they ask these questions, and I think it's because at the moment when we should be teachers, instead we're having to still learn the basic things we should have already learned to begin with. So when we come up to a day and a time like we're living at, and we're wondering what in the world should we do, what's right, what's wrong, we come to this moment and say, hey, maybe I should, how much of the Word of God do I have in me? And I look across the room, and many of you have been saved for many years, and it's not the fact that that are younger or maybe haven't been saved for as long, they're off scot-free. It's, are we putting the Bible in our heart? Are we putting the Bible in our lives? And I was actually going to preach about that in Hebrews chapter chapter number 5, but the Lord kind of led me towards this thought, talking about revival a little bit, about being discerning between what's right and wrong. He said, I don't know. Get in your Bibles. Be ready. Don't have to be keep on being retaught the same things over and over because you never got it the first time. And it talks about the unskillful person needing the milk of the word, needing to be keep on toning over and over the same things because they never learned it to begin with. And so they've never been able to process the milk, so they can't get to the meat. And it's important. But let's look here. I know I mentioned this verse in years past about revival, and also even Wednesday night it was something that we talked about during our prayer time. And I know you got a prayer request sheet there for this week that we're going to go over here in a minute. But I'd like to look at this verse just for a second. It's just going to look at it as a way to turn off just get started. Now, I think one of the greatest needs that our nation, our church, and our own lives is revival, a reviving of God's work in our hearts, a reviving of what God's trying to do, and something that if we're going to get it, there's a way. The Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Lord, I come to you and I know I desperately need your help. I know that I desire for revival to make a difference in our lives. And Lord, for you to change us inwardly and it will reflect outwardly. I know many of us have grown tired and weary in our Christian walks, and we need a reviving that can only come from you. Lord, if we look at this verse, we consider who you are, and it amazes us that you're saying that we're able to dwell with you, and it's amazing to say that you're willing to revive us again. And Lord, I pray that during this lesson that there'll be something. I know we're going to throw a lot of things at the people today. There'd be something that would grab their heart, make them thirsty for hungering after righteousness, a hungering for a closer walk with you, a hungering to have a revived type spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I look at this verse and it tells me about three quick things. The first thing is I look at it and I see God. I don't know if there's even a better description as the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. We could spend a lot of time talking about how he should be high and lifted up, and he is the one true God, the only God. And where is he? He's in eternity. He is in time. It's amazing who God is. And if you have a focus on who God is, even though things around the world seem like they're crazy, even though things around Elizabeth City seems like they're crazy, you still see a God that is seated up there on his throne, and nothing has taken him by surprise. Nothing has. He is still high. He is still lifted up. He is still holy. He is still in charge. None of these things have been a surprise to him. I would think most of us would say we did not expect any of the things that are going on in our city to be something that we would say, hey, that happened last week. We knew it was going to happen. We didn't. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week when it comes to the things of this world. But we do have a vision, a look to where somewhere we can look to that will never change, immutable. He is always high. He is always holy. He is always lifted up. He is an amazing God. And we can get lost in understanding and knowing who he is. It is a holy type focus. But then you look at this and he says, whose name is holy. And then he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And what the Bible is saying there is that we can dwell with him. It's a humble fellowship. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, would desire for us to dwell with him or with us. It's amazing. It's very humbling. When we are filled with ourselves, we see no need for God. When we are filled with ourselves, we're not willing to go out and show our dependence on him. When we're filled with ourselves, we can handle all things. But he's saying that he is willing to fellowship and he's willing to have us spend time with him. As the Bible talks about in Ephesians, how we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. It's an amazing thought. If we're willing to humble ourselves before him and we focus on him, he then gives us a promise. Look what it says there. He says he will revive the spirit. He says with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, sometimes people says, man, I don't know how you're going to get revival. We have to have this program. And sometimes evangelists will send different sheets and papers, different prayer lists like we're talking about. And these are things to try to help or get our hearts ready for when we're having some special meetings and taking some separate times out. And to get us excited about wanting to do what? Draw near to God. But there is no real prescription. I know R.A. Torrey has that prescription for revival and talks about this is what God blesses when we get right with the Lord, and when one or two people gather together and they pray and they seek God's face and they hold on until revival happens, and then they make themselves completely available to whatever God has to win people to Christ. You know, those are different steps that are biblical steps that show you God has promised us if you do those things, your heart will be revived. You will be encouraged. And I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk, but I know there's a lot of Christians out there today that truly need a reviving of the heart and a reviving of the spirit. And that's why we have special meetings. It's not just because we're an independent fundamental Baptist church. I don't like this pulpit. It's too small. So it's okay. I don't know about either that or I just have too many papers, one or the other. So that or my Bible's too big. So you think about it, it's we don't just have revival meetings to just mark it off the list, because, you know, every church is supposed to have a spring revival and fall revival. Every church is supposed to have a vacation Bible school. Every church is supposed to have a missions conference. Every church is supposed to have an Easter program and a Christmas program. You know, to be a good church, you got to do all those things. That's not true. You let the Lord lead you and let the Lord guide you. And what works for some churches and what God blesses may be something different. Instead of a fall revival, many years we have something called a fall Bible conference where we have different speakers come in. And just because it's different, sometimes people are opposed to it. Instead of having something called vacation Bible school, we call it Kids Crusade. And instead of, it's okay, Brother Jim.
If you want it.
Thank you. Isn't that nice of him? Something I can run into. So it's how God works. And that's what we schedule special meetings out for, is we don't want to entertain the people. We want God to grab a hold of our hearts. We truly want to, we're not bringing you out to just say, hey, look, a pastor knows that as a good Christian, if we have church service, we're going to make you come out, and he doesn't care about your schedule, doesn't care how busy you are, doesn't care about any of those things. He's just going to make you come to church just to prove he can. That's not why we have revival. That's a waste of time. But the reason why we have revivals and the reason why we have special meetings, the reason why we have missions conferences is because we desire to hear from God in a special way. We want God to work in our hearts. We want to understand what it means to have a focus on the Lord, and a means what it has to have a focus to spend time fellowshipping with him, and a means and time to have our hearts revived. And I don't know about you, but it's a busy time. And I know what some of you might say, oh, as a pastor, that means you get to take the week off, don't have to do anything. And I get why people might think that. It's just not true. It's busy to try to work with those that come in. It's busy to, you know, meals, but also catching up with people, preparing sermons for the future week, praying for God to work, inviting more people, encouraging people. It's a busy time. There's most days when there's revival, I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. I don't go home. I get here in the morning, not super early on revival days, and I stay all the way through most times unless I'm out visiting or doing something like that. And same thing that many of you do. Some of you guys travel 20, 30 minutes, and I praise the Lord for that. Some of us people travel longer than that, and they're going to be here. They're going to be here every night for the revival. Don't do it just because it's a duty. Do it because we've sought the Lord and want God to speak to our hearts. Come hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Come hungering and thirsting with this thought that God has promised us that he will revive the spirit of the person that's humble, that God will revive the hearts of the contrite one. As we have that focus on the Lord, as we see him as that high and lofty one, that inhabit of eternity. We see who God is, and we know that he's in charge. And even though the rest of the world seems like it's in chaos, guess what? He's God. And we know there's Christians and believers all across the world. We've gotten used to America and the religious liberties and freedoms that we have. And when things seem to like they're crumbling around, we start questioning and wondering. But you think about those that are in China, and think about those who are in oppressed areas, and think about those that had to meet in secret. You know, he's still God for them too. He's still the same God. He's still up there, and he's lifted up, and he's made a promise to them. And the persecution they face, it's a more of a reality. And as we're coming to a spot where people are questioning whether or not we should have the freedom to tell somebody about Jesus, or the freedom to have church, or the freedom to sing in church. You know, those are things that might be on the horizons 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road. Who knows, maybe next year, depending on some of those, there's places out there, I think they're still trying to ban singing in California. You can't sing in church in California. And I know they're putting under the guise of COVID, but at the same time, he's still there. He's still God. He's still high and lifted up. No matter what happens in your life, God does not change. And if we will learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he says he'll exalt us, he'll lift us up in due time. So this prayer list is not new and original with me, but it's something I thought was good. I'm going to spend this week going through this. So each day this week, I plan on praying this and asking God to help. I like it when we have something that is in our hands. Instead of saying, hey, just pray for revival, and you might have your own prayer list, that's great. Most people don't. You might have I pray for the revival every single day. I've been praying for a whole month, Pastor. It's excited. It's been part of my prayer time, and I'm ready for it. I'm stoked. Most people don't. Most people need some encouragement and help, like the prayer journey that we had a couple years ago with the hour with the Lord, and then especially with Brother Van Gelderen putting a special emphasis and giving you some papers to deal with and work through. It made it happen even greater because there was something in their hand. It showed them how to do it. So I would encourage you, as you look at these things, these are all biblical things, all things that usually stop and is a hindrance to revival. So let's look at these 10 prayer requests for genuine revival. There's some scripture that's there. We'll kind of go through the sheet. The last one does not have, there's a couple on there that has multiple verses, so we're going to have to look those up. But here's some things that if you truly want genuine revival in your heart, if you want to be that contrite and humble spirit, you want to be the person that has the contrite one and the humble spirit that's going to get their hearts revived. Look at what this says. Number one, that God would search my heart and reveal anything in my life that is not right with him. You say, Pastor, you harp on that. It's because it's key. It's one of the keys to unlocking the revival, is if our hearts have got to be right. If we truly want to hear from the Lord and we want God to hear from us, we need to make sure there's no type of idol or sin that's in our heart. I don't care how long you've had it. I don't care how close you are to it. I don't care how much it means to you. You're not going to have a revived heart until we're willing to humbly submit to God and his will. And you see in Psalms 139, verses 23, 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's something that we must do if we truly want revived hearts. It's sort of like people saying, hey, we need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray. But then when we have prayer meetings, nobody's there. It's sort of like saying, there's an emphasis on prayer, but then when it comes time to pray, where are people at? How often do we pray? It's sort of like here with our revival. If we truly want to be right and we want God to speak to our hearts, it has to translate to it happening in our lives. Next thing, that God would break any stubbornness and hardness of my heart. Say, isn't that covered in number one? It is, but in all reality, most of us are stubborn about something when it comes in. And so we need to be reminded, okay, Lord, not just this, but that thing I don't want to give up, that thing that means so much to me. And that's what he says in Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. If there is something in your heart that you've hardened your heart about and you refuse to get it right, as you're praying, ask God about that. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it's obvious to everybody else in the world, but to us, it's like, really? You feel that way? And sometimes in my conversation with my wife over the years, if I had to say something, you know what, that's always bothered me. And she's like, really? I never knew that. Same thing with me. She used to think my sense of humor was funny. When we were dating, she used to think it was great. Now there's times when she looks at me and says, you know, that's not funny, right? I said, you used to think it was funny. She says, I just laughed back then. You know, it's sort of like there are things that I could say that would bother her that that I'd never known until she tells me. And I'm glad she tells me because I don't want to on purpose hurt her feelings. I don't want to do something that's going to be. And there's the stubbornness that's there sometimes. If you don't know, you need God. That's why he says in the first part, search me. He says, know my heart. Is there something in my life? And I know it's sometimes people say, it's just who I am. It's sometimes part of your personality. Well, if you got a bad attitude, guess what? That should change. You don't want that to be part of your personality. You don't want the arrogance to be part of your personality. You don't want whatever it is that is your stubbornness and hardness of heart. The third thing, that God would show me any relationship that need to be restored. That God would show me any relationships that need to be restored. Once again, as we're praying, as you pray, you humble yourself under the Lord. You ask these things in order for God to speak to your heart. It's not just to read through and not say, hey, all my relationships are good. No, ask the Lord. And it could be something, more than likely, it's talking about here as a church family, but also it can be other relationships that even the other person might be the greater wrong or the greater sin, but you haven't done what the Bible says. And it's number one that really covers that. In all reality, it's the sin that's in my heart, reveal things in my life. But as you get rid of the stubbornness and you get rid of the hardness, God may reveal something unto you that you never ever even thought about. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his own fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. It's relationships in churches have really, if you don't have the right fellowship, you don't have the right unity in a church, it will really kill the spirit of revival. You should be able to, as believers, to get along, but not just get along, to be unified in a work for God. And we're here for God's glory. We're not here for our own. And sometimes the stubbornness or the pride that comes along, it's my church, it's the way I think it should be done, and I'm not going to change or I'm not going to get involved. We should be willing to do the work that God's called us to do. If we believe he's brought us here as a church, then we should be able to work together. Number four, that God would help me to have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that I have never experienced. A sensitivity to the Holy Spirit I never experienced. What does that mean? That we've drawn closer to the Lord. Something that we hear God. He said, what do you mean by never experience? It seems like you're being experiential. And it is a sense. It is, as we grow closer to God, what happens is we grow closer to God, we our fellowship would grow closer, hopefully stronger. Hopefully, when we talked about this a few years ago, hopefully it was not at the same level you are. Hopefully today, from what you were a few years ago as we were preparing for revival, you're closer today than you were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But that's not the case for so many people. Many times we've fallen back farther. We don't have the same love and passion that we had a number of years ago. And instead of just saying, I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me in a greater way. Speak to me and meet with me and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. God wants to speak to our hearts, and he speaks to the Holy Spirit of God as he leads us and guides us as we hear preaching and teaching. God, give me a sensitivity to what God wants to lead me, how he wants to guide me. Don't make it about me. Make it about what he wants me to do. Number five, that God would grant me a deep conviction of sin, repentance, and a renewed fear of God. I know some of these seem like they're repetitive, but once again, it's something as we're seeing God work in our heart. You know, that you have conviction of sin. That's not really that hard to get convicted. I don't know about you, but that to me, conviction of sin is something that happens really easy. I do something wrong, usually, especially if I know what I'm doing and I fail, I feel sorrowful about it. But then there's the idea of not just feeling sorrowful about something, it also uses the word repentance. It means stop doing it. It means turning from doing that sin. When it's talking about a believer here, it's saying, hey, God's convicted my heart about watching that show. Probably convicted you before about it, maybe a number of times. It means that if God's convicted my heart about it, I'm going to stop doing that. And that's what we're praying, is that we would, that God would not only convict us about it, because we hear conviction, we hear God speak to our heart about being a soul winner, about being faithful, about giving, about serving. We know there's areas that we lack in, but the change that needs to happen, the repentance, the changing, the turning away from it. And it says, and a renewed fear of God. What does that mean? That means I think I care about what God thinks. If you had the right fear of God, you wouldn't be having to say, I need to repent of that. I would have repented to begin with because of the fact that I had the right view of God. Look what the scripture says. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world that worketh death. And so it's the sorrow over our sins that show us that we are in need of a Savior. Next one, number six. That God would give me a spiritual hunger and fervency that I have never known. That God would give me a spiritual hunger and fervency that I never known. Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew 5, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. People are empty in their Christian life. Many times they're like, I don't understand why God doesn't speak to me. But do we hunger and thirst after it? Do we go after, do we seek after him? We're going to talk about 2 Chronicles 7:14 in the morning service a little bit, and part of that is seeking after him. It's having a desire. It's not just about, okay, I know that I'm supposed to love the Bible. I know that I'm supposed to love prayer, but it becomes something that is something we seek after, that we hunger. And he says, where do I get that from? You get it by praying. You get it by asking. You get it. The Bible talks about if you delight in the Lord, he's going to give you desires of your heart. He would delight in you hungering and thirsting after it. He would delight in you desiring that. You say, well, I don't know how to get that. You ask him. Because as your desires and your delights line up his desires and his delights with you, he's going to give you what you ask for. Why is it? Because it's not just what you want for your life. It's what he desires for your life. When you see those promises that are found in the Bible, ask and you shall receive, knock shall be opened to you. It's when we line up with God and what God wants for our lives and we ask God for those things, he will give it to us. If we are right with the Lord and we ask him to make us thirsty for God and thirsty for his word, and thirsty for prayer, if we've gone through these things, he will fill us. Next one, number seven, that God would bring unity and deep harmony in my church and my family. It's key. If we really want to see God work in a revived spirit and a revived heart, if we really want to see God move forward as a church, and I think God's been working in a lot of people's hearts, and I really truly believe if people would continue to pray for the hour, and it doesn't have to be following that format. If you don't need that, that's great. But if you could get a church full of people that would pray sincerely for an hour for God to work in their heart and life, it would change. It would change us. It would change our church. But we need a loving unity and a deep harmony in my church and also my family. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. You know, if we went out there and asked people, who is a disciple of Jesus Christ? What's one characteristic? You know, if we went across the room, some people were like, well, I think a person's a disciple if they dress right, or if they're always at church, or if they're serving, and there's a long list of different things, but Jesus says, if you really want to show the world that you're one of my disciples, you learn not just how to love the world, you learn how to love one another. And I grew up in a church that is similar to ours, but people didn't like one another. And sometimes one person sit on this side, one person sit on that side. As long as they didn't cross paths, there wasn't going to be a problem. But, you know, that person come over to my section, you know, it's going to be World War III again. It shouldn't be that way. And I don't feel like we have that spirit there, but at the same time, I'm wondering how many of us really truly pray for unity in our church family and in our own families, that we would be centered around the Word of God and there would not be harbor bitterness and hard feelings. If there's an issue or a problem, then talk it out. If you have a problem with me, I would love for you to get, have a conversation with me. Doesn't mean I'm always going to agree with you, because I want to please the Lord more than anyone else. But if I've done something, yeah, please don't just let that harbor, that bitterness sit in there. Well, it doesn't bother me. It does. Obviously, if you can get over it and not bother you, but sometimes people will bring up something from years in the past and think, why didn't you say something? And if you didn't say something, then let's deal with it now. And so it's important, and it's easy to do, and the devil's really good at what he does, to try to break into a church family and try to mess up not only a church family, but also our own family. Number eight, that God would fill my heart with a passion to see people saved. You can take your Bibles if you like to in Romans chapter number 9. Pastor, of course we want to see people say, we give to missions. I think that's great. But there's more to it than that. Say, I don't really have a desire to see people saved. There is a problem. That's why it's on the prayer list. I don't really think it's my responsibility to tell people. It's hopefully you deal with that with one, two, and three. But if you don't have that passion, is it God's will that you tell other people? Yes. Is it his desire? Yes. Would he delight in that? Yes. If you asked him as a clean Christian, God, can you give me a desire to see people saved? Do you think he would? The answer is yes, he would. He's told us that in his word. And it's just that we delight in the wrong things. It's because of the number one, two, and three, we get to this point and say, man, I wish I had a passion to see people saved. And this is something, it's good for me to pray, because it's something I need to see and desire even greater in my own life, in my own heart. I want to see people say, what am I doing about it? Look what it says in Romans chapter number 9. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, if we said that to somebody, it'd be like, I wonder if he's telling the truth or not. But under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it was written. Not only was it written, it's been preserved for how many years by God. So what the next statement, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's saying that he had such a heaviness in his heart that he would be willing to be accursed if it meant that his kinsmen would be able to know God. Wow. I can't say that that's how I feel. I don't know if there's... how many people in this world would we be willing to go to hell for? And he's saying, hey, it's my kinsmen. Now, his kinsmen, who's his kinsmen? The people that are trying to kill him? I mean, it depends on when Romans was written, and he's referring to his, maybe the Jews he always came across, but God had obviously had burdened his heart so much that he's saying, and how do you get that burden? You go out and you see, but you ask God to give you a burden. Jesus talked about how he saw the multitudes. And I don't know about you, I don't really like crowds. I don't like where I can't find a spot to park. I don't like being around lots and lots of people, you know, at malls and things like that. But when I go out Black Friday shopping, sometimes you see a massive number of people, and sometimes the Lord reminds me of that verse, when he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. When I see the multitude, I'm like, man, I hope nobody shows up. I don't, and that's because I have the wrong vision of what God's trying to do in my life. So let's ask God to give us a burden for people. Number nine, that God would call many from our church to missions and Christian service. We need more laborers. And not everybody's going to go into a full-time ministry. I don't think everybody should go into a full-time ministry. I think we should all be full-time Christians, but I do believe that we should ask God that he would raise up people in our church to send out to do a full-time work somewhere, whether it's missionaries, pastors, support roles, things like that. Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that you will send forth laborers for his harvest. And there's the reality there is, hey, we're supposed to pray. He says, pray ye therefore. Now, does that only apply to full-time? It doesn't. Obviously, it doesn't. But don't we need somebody who doesn't, that country that doesn't have a gospel witness? Don't you think we should pray for that? All those unreached people groups, do we want them to know about the Christ? Sure. How's it ever going to happen if we don't pray? And so number 10, that God would take what he does in our church family and use us to the furtherance of the gospel around the world. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 real quick, and I think we'll be done by then. I had another thing we were going to talk about, but this took a little bit longer than I thought it would, which I think is okay. Matthew 28, look at this part of the Great Commission. And Jesus came, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to believe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Say, Pastor, when you see, it says in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, what do you think that means? It means that we should try to be reaching all nations. He said, well, how in the world can I do that? That seems impossible. That's why it's on a prayer list, because we serve a God that can do the impossible. And you see here, down at the end of verse number 20, he says, lo, I am with you always. So if God's with us all the time, then guess what? He can make it happen. We have to be willing vessels. So whether this is the form you're going to use this week or some other type of form that God writes in your heart, my encouragement to our church family, our adult Sunday school class, the backbone of our church, and I know there's teachers out there that would be in that same description, the backbone of our church, I'm asking you this week, will you pray for revival? Find yourself a good prayer list. Find something each and every day. You say, Pastor, I'm already doing that hour for the Lord. When they make this your petitions for the week, bring this before the Lord this week. And focus and be ready for next Sunday morning, not because Brother McBride's going to be here, but because we have set aside these special days to say, God, speak to my heart. Work in my life. God, I want you to speak to my heart. God, and if you come ready, desiring to hear from him with a clean heart, he's promised he will speak to us. Thank you for being here. Let's have a word of prayer and then get prepared for the next service.